Welcome to Homeschool Insights, the show that brings you biblical homeschool encouragement in under 10 minutes. I'm your host, Yvette Hampton. Homeschool Insights is sponsored by CTC Math. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com and try it for free. Now on to the show. You were talking about A Bargain for Francis and how to basically dissect that book and how we can use children's books to learn how to read bigger literature, right? More advanced literature. Give us an example of that in maybe like 12-ish minutes or sure. So.
I don't know how many of you remember A Bargain for Francis, the two little badgers. Francis goes over to her friend Thelma's house to have a tea party. And while she's there, Thelma, she mentions that she would really like Thelma's tea set. And Thelma kind of swindles her out of the money that she's been saving for a tea set by telling her that the kind she wants doesn't exist anymore. So Francis takes this old yucky tea set and gives Thelma her money. And then Francis realizes that she's been bamboozled out of her money when Thelma goes and buys the tea set that she's always wanted with Francis's money. And so Francis had to figure out a way to get her money back and teach Thelma a lesson about friendship. And they have a little resolution at the end, and they're all friends, and they go off into the night singing songs about how much better it is to be friends with each other than to steal stuff and put one over on your best friend. It's a standard bedtime story at the end of which all eight-year-olds are snuggled in their beds with lessons about morality and the world dancing in their heads. And we read that story and we enjoy it because the Hoban's a great writer and the illustrations are awesome. And we can actually just go to bed after that, sure, if we want. What you could also do is ask a couple of questions about the story related to the structural elements that all stories have in common. You could say, for example, who's the protagonist of this story? Of course, it's Francis the Badger. And you could ask a follow-up question. What does this protagonist want the most in this story? To which the answers will be dependent on the age and intellectual maturity of the student or of the person you're discussing with. For example, a five-year-old might say, Francis wants a tea set. Clearly, she wants Thelma's tea set, or she wants a blue china tea set, or whatever it is. And then you could ask another question. Why can't Francis have what she wants? What's the obstacle standing in her way? Well, the kid might say, she doesn't have enough money. Well, that's actually not true. She has plenty of money, but Thelma, it turns out, has deceived her. And so the problem, the obstacle to Francis getting what she wants, is Thelma's deceit. The relationship between them is broken in some way. What a great little moment for a conversation. You could also answer the question, what Francis wants, in a much different way. Francis also wants the kind of friendship with Thelma that is safe, right? She wants a safe friendship where you don't have to watch your back all the time and to wonder whether your best friend of a million years is going to stab you. Why right. Can't she have that? What's the obstacle in her way? Well, again, it's the fact that Thelma is dealing badly with Francis. And so in both of these cases, though the conflicts are different, they sort of belong in the same category. It's a man versus man conflict. As you're having this conversation about the protagonist and what she wants and why she can't have it, you begin to notice that those very same questions can be asked of Shakespeare's Hamlet. What does Hamlet want? Well, a couple different things. He wants to be avenged on his uncle who has murdered his father. But also, he wants to know for sure if his uncle has really murdered his father, and if the ghost that has appeared to him in Act 1, Scene 1 is telling the truth or is even a real thing. Hamlet is facing a couple of different obstacles that are very, very similar, it turns out, to Francis's obstacles in A Bargain for Francis. And maybe even more importantly, the same questions asked between teacher and student can bring these things to light in both cases. So that if you learn to ask of Francis, who is the protagonist? What does she want? Why can't she have it? What kind of conflict is this? You're learning to ask those questions of any book you read. The method that we have developed takes all of the structural elements of fiction, including character and protagonist, which we just talked about briefly, and does the very same thing with all the other structural elements. For example, plot. What's the plot of a story? Well, it's the sequence of events that the story goes through from beginning to end. But importantly, every plot has what we call a climactic moment. A climax. Is there a point in the story when the main question of the story is answered or resolved? It turns out in A Bargain for Francis, there's this moment when Francis goes to the candy store after her sister Glory has said, it's happening to you again. Thelma is pulling a fast one on you. She's buying your tea set right now. And Francis goes to the candy store and sees it, sees it happen. Thelma is using the fruits of her ill-gotten gain to buy the tea set. And Frances turns away from the shop window and she says, "Mother told me to be careful about you, but now you better beware because I am going to win." And Frances's whole mind changes and her whole perspective changes, and she turns the tables on Thelma and beats her in a battle of wills and drags her back to the bargaining table and says, "You want to be friends with me or don't you?" And it turns out that this moment is a real turning point in the story, because Frances goes from being a naive, young badger that just gets taken advantage of at every turn to being a mature, worldly wise badger who knows how to handle people with that present difficult relationships. There's a climactic moment, in other words. Yeah. In Hamlet, you could say the same thing. What's the climactic moment of Hamlet? At what point does the main problem of the story get resolved? And if the main problem of the story is, will Hamlet take revenge on Claudius, his devious uncle? There is this moment in Act 3 of Hamlet where Hamlet is watching Claudius at prayer. And Claudius is praying, saying, "Oh, I'm guilty. I can't even confess because I've murdered my brother." And Hamlet is standing behind him with a dagger in his hand. And the question is he going to do it? Is he going to avenge himself on his father and kill his uncle? And he decides not to. He says, "Oh no, I don't want to kill him while he's at prayer. Then he'll go to heaven. But I'd rather have him, kill him in his bed, and he can go to hell." And so Hamlet decides not to avenge himself, and disaster eventually ensues. It's a climactic moment, a turning point. What we do with every element of fiction in our approach is ask the questions that force the student to think, how is this moment, how is this element of the story contributing to the overall theme? And we find that when we learn how to do it in Frances, we can also do it in Hamlet. The other elements that work, not just characters and not just plot, we talk about the setting of the story that way. Hamlet mm-hmm. happens in a windy Dunsinane castle, or whatever the castle is, Elsinore, I can't remember. And Frances, the story happens in a little badger neighborhood where everything is sunny and light. And those things have thematic significance, right? We talk about the conflict underlying a story. That's another one of the structural elements. But with every element, we approach it the very same way. Ask a set of kind of generic questions that make that structural element clear that can eventually later be applied to any work of literature at all.
Thanks for joining us for Homeschool Insights. For more great homeschool inspiration and resources, listen to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And be sure to watch the film Schoolhouse Rocked: The Homeschool Revolution.